All right, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Politically Incorrect, the safe space with socially unacceptable commentary. Let me go ahead and get the housekeeping out of the way. I think it's been probably 2 weeks now since I've done a solo episode, or I guess released a solo episode, better yet. I guess I should give y'all the backstory, even though I gave the backstory in the episode that didn't come out. I guess I hate having to do, I'm having to do a lot of this all over again, and I literally said in that one that I hate having to do all this all over again, but it's for y'all. So I got these new mics and, I'm a dumbass. I'm retarded. I used the, B mic when I was recording the redo of a redo. So it might be a fucking 3 weeks now since I've done a solo episode, but well, I guess released a solo episode, better yet. So yeah, the new mics that I have, they're programmed nicely now that I'm starting to kind of figure out how they work, just a little bit. And I'm also having to learn a lot more on the back end. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot being the audio engineer, producer, host, co-host, all that. It's very, very interesting. But I use the B mic, and the B mic has different settings. Who would have thought? So I believe I'm using the correct mic this time. I will be very, very hurt and devastated if I get another fucking episode recorded and I'm using the wrong fucking mic. Is this one? Okay, good. God damn it. Okay, so, let's see. Fuck anything I talked about last week. It doesn't matter. I don't even remember fuck anything I talked about last week. Let's go ahead and start with the obvious, the in-season tournament. Me and Alan, we dropped that episode, and oh, I guess let me finish this with housekeeping. Still going through episodes that me and Alan recorded early November. The one that we dropped this week was actually recorded this past weekend. So that's going to be more recent. So that yeah, you're going to hear something very soon that is obviously recorded early November. Yeah, that was a very different time in the NBA. Anyway, speaking of the NBA, the in-season tournament has made it to the knockout round, and we had games, I guess I should briefly talk about the first one. What was it? The fucking Pacers and the Celtics. The Pacers are a very interesting team right now because their offense is crazy. It's like number one in the league, but their defense is abysmal. So all of their games are track meets. And you would think that style's not going to work, even though, I mean, I guess we did see Phoenix do it back in the day, and the Lakers did it in the 80s, and the Nuggets did it in the 80s, 90s. And, I mean, I guess we've seen it in the past, but it's just not – we are just conditioned into believing that doesn't win. Obviously, in today's NBA, niggas is going to score, but it's not going to be like that. But – I mean, I think last year Sacramento was number one offense, and they were also like not the greatest defense, not a bad defense, but not the greatest defense. The Pacers seemed to be that team. I didn't think that they was going to do to the Celtics what they did, but I did notice early on, and even in group play, I think I talked about this too. I didn't think that 500K was going to be enough for these niggas to care, want to compete like that. I didn't think that this little Commissioner's Cup or what NBA Cup was going to be a big deal to guys that have been focused and locked in on winning the Larry O'Brien every single year, or you would think. Like, the Celtics, obviously, they would love to win it. And, you know, I had my conspiracy hat on, and, like, I would obviously think that the Celtics would be given favor for the NBA to, you know, try to get them there. But this Pacers team, they're what? I think they're a 4 seed or something like that in the East. Like, we're talking about the actual thing that matters, the playoffs, not this group. With not in season cup, whatever. And it's still the NBA's fault for the fans, not really. I mean, the fans are going to be invested just because if LeBron wins, it's actually going to be the best thing for the NBA, but also the worst thing for the NBA for this whole NBA cup, because it's. Guys, I facetiously talk about the conference finals MVP because it should mean absolutely nothing. It should mean absolutely nothing, but they keep adding things, and it's more things for us to be divisive about, so whatever. Pacers ran, and then the Sacramento and the Pelicans, I don't think I watched any of that game, so I'm not going to talk about it. But the Pelicans won, I believe, so cool. Now, yesterday's games, we have the Knicks and the Bucks, and my God, I don't know what the hell got into those two teams. That was an offensive explosion. I thought that the Knicks had a solid defense. I knew that the Bucks defense has been struggling, but I thought that the Knicks had a solid defense. And I mean, if you go into any game and you're told that you're going to score 122 points, you feel confident that, you know, you either won or it's a pretty, you know, competitive game. But if you were to tell me I'm going to score 122 points and lose by double digits, hell, lose by 20. What the fuck? Is Tom Thibodeau still the coach for the Knicks? No, he can't be. Is he? I don't know. But that was, I mean, for fantasy reasons, it was a great game. It was my favorite game of the night. I loved that game last night. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. But Jesus Christ, 146 points in regulation? And it's not like the other team wasn't scoring. They was like Julius Randle, my man, BBN, did his thing. All right, let's get to what y'all care about and what I guess I kind of want to talk about. And should be no shocker to anyone that I hate LeBron James. But given, you know, I mean, whenever the opportunity arises, I love to also share my strong displeasure with Kevin Wayne Durant as well. If you ask me, I don't like Kevin Durant more than I dislike LeBron James. Because Kevin Durant, my hate from Kevin Durant stems more from the because I believe in him. That's where my hate stems with Kevin Durant. Like last night, this nigga, like for majority of the game, Grayson Allen was out shooting this man. Like, what the fuck? Well, Michael, you were a Kobe fan, so you're just used to Kobe taking, you know, bad shots and yada yada. Okay, yeah, sure. But you know what? Yeah, you know, I'll give you that. I'll just agree for the sake of conversation. Sure. I'm told Kevin Durant is the greatest offensive player we've ever seen. I mean, if Kobe was Kevin Durant's height, those shots aren't bad shots. You see what I'm saying? You see how it's different? Well, majority of the night, Grayson Allen was out shooting this guy. Now, granted, Kevin Durant was in foul trouble, so I guess I'll give him that. I guess he wasn't able to play as much. I mean, catch a rhythm, even though he played 39 minutes. I guess he wasn't able to catch, you know, a rhythm. Sure, whatever. But I knew this was going to be a competitive game. Well, actually, no, I knew it'd be a competitive game, but early on, it looked like the Lakers were going to run away with it, and I wouldn't have been surprised by that either. Anthony Davis is doing his thing, BBN. But Devin Booker was quiet. I mean, as far as the scoring goes, I mean, you know, well, I mean, he played an all-around game, but, you know, he also had an all-around bad game as well. I mean, 7 turnovers, 5 fouls. So, you know, that's not the best. Also, you know, didn't have the best efficiency from the field. But he was blessed with 8 free throws. Must be nice. Anyway, well, that's another problem. This goes to, like, my hate for Kevin Durant. Everybody who's not a witness knows. Hell, I think even a real hooper could acknowledge Kevin Durant is the better basketball player than LeBron James. Hell, Kevin Durant's better than Steph, guys. All right, you got me. But when it comes to this 5-on-5, well, things just change. How can you be the best player on the floor, skill-wise, but routinely be dominated and owned by this nigga? It really bothers me. But the thing is, his Kevin Durant's numbers is always going to be there. Oh, well, he had 31 points. Oh, okay. That's what I'll say. Kevin Durant's 30 doesn't do anything. It does not impact winning. I swear it doesn't. I promise you it doesn't. It's empty fucking buckets, man. He is not going to do anything of consequence without a Hall of Fame point guard next to him. So what does that really say? I would have loved for Kobe to have a Hall of Fame point guard. I would have loved that. I mean, we had Steve Nash for about 6 games. So, you know, but my God. Now, granted, Jesus Christ. But let's go into the last sequence of the game, the whole turnover, timeout situation. I am very much of the belief that, I mean, obviously, you know, y'all know where my bias lies, and you know I believe that, you know, the NBA shows favor to LeBron James. But if Kevin Durant is the player that a lot of people believe him to be, I mean, LeBron, I mean, whenever they get the chance, they always tell us LeBron's 38. Anthony Davis wasn't playing great in the second half. The game was right there to be had. There are plenty of times throughout the game while I'm wanting to hate on Kevin Durant, he'll come down, boom, three, boom, dunk, boom, like layup, boom, get to the line. Like he was, like I said, he had 31, but it's just, I don't get, like, Kevin Durant, by most accounts, solid game last night. 5 turnovers, but solid game last night. If Devin Booker is 50% from the field, which I mean, I guess, you know, that's asking a lot. I guess that's asking a lot. He's 6-for-16. But if he makes 2 more shots, this game's different. If Kevin Durant just has a little, because the superstar's numbers should be what moves the needle. The leader's numbers, the leader's production should be what moves the needle. Draymond's numbers may not move the needle, but his production, his effort, his presence moves the needle. On often occasions, obviously Steph, you know, having, you know, 30, 40, making 8-9 threes, timely threes, things like that. And speaking of timely threes, let's go ahead. Let's talk about LeBron James. Let's talk about LeBron James. Obviously, y'all know where I stand with LeBron James, but as I'm watching some of these games in his later age, I mean, I'm noticing that he's doing all the exact same things that, oh, wow, he also had 31. But I'm noticing that he's doing all the exact same things that he's pretty much been doing his whole career. I would say he hasn't really evolved at all, but that's just a testament to what he's been forever. But I am starting to have to be like, all right, dog. Kevin Durant's younger, Kevin Durant's taller, Kevin Durant's more skilled. And he also has a solid team around him. Now, obviously, the Lakers have Anthony Davis, but, you know, I would think that this is a game that Kevin Durant can win. And they could have, for sure, they could have. But watching that game last night, most of the third and early in the fourth, LeBron was playing great. He was playing great. And he was actually showing effort on both ends at 38. I wish he'd showed effort on both ends more often, but he was locked in. I have mostly nothing bad to say about LeBron. Now, if we want to get into my hate of it, that last possession when Austin Reeves, or like the second to last whatever possession when Austin Reeves hit that three, I'm watching the superstar. I'm watching him. I'm watching the GOAT on that possession. So they get the ball. They're coming down court. And LeBron, that possession, that 4 or 5, 6 seconds, he wanted absolutely nothing to do with the play. Absolutely nothing to do with the play. Now, y'all say, oh, well, he's just showing confidence in his teammate. He wanted nothing to do with that play. I believe the drive or the possession or two before that, he got stripped by Eric Gordon. These things happen, guys. Like, I mean, I'm watching the game. Now, again, like we did see 31, 11, 8, and 5 steals. I got to give it up. And then it's just still, again, at this age. I mean, I don't think he'll be able to play with this energy on most nights. But he can still do it 60, 70 times a year. He can still give you that effort 60, 70 times a year. I don't. And LeBron also, I think he is taking it personally. Well, I guess I shouldn't take it. Well, yeah, I think he knows. He knows that these games with KD are, they're not a championship. It's not the NBA Finals. It's not anything playoff legacy-wise. But
most people, like the three people of this era, this generation, are going to be Steph, KD, LeBron. Now, most people are going to have Steph last just because of the understanding of, like I said earlier, KD's taller, he can do X, Y, like pretty much what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander said. I mean, I'm mad that he said it and, you know, I didn't like it, but if you just break it down, like, yeah, all right, he's taller and can do most of the things. Okay, I mean, true. But the thing is, he doesn't do the things. 17 shots last night, KD. I know I'm jumping back to it, but 17 shots last night, KD. 17 shots last night, KD. There should never be a fucking game if Kevin Durant is healthy on a basketball court that he takes, first of all, minimum under 20. But if I'm the coach, if I'm the GM, if I'm the owner of the goddamn Phoenix Suns, I'm fining Kevin Durant $350,000 every game he does not attempt 25 goddamn shots. What is this? This is, like, if you're going to be this passive, at least tell me you moving the ball, you getting a set. No, nigga, you're not doing that either. What the fuck is, like, like Kevin Durant, I don't really feel like being the best player in the NBA. I mean, I'm already getting the credit for it. Like, this is, like, he's a fucking millennial-ass superstar. Even though he probably, no, I think he actually would still be in the millennial generation. Just millennial-ass superstar. I'm already getting it all. I have my championships. I'm accomplished. You know who I am. Y'all know my game. Y'all know I could beat anybody, anywhere, anytime, one-on-one. I'm sick of this dude. I'm sick of this guy, man. God damn. It could have been great. Oh, man. It would have been lovely in Golden State if he just would have known his fucking role. Just know your role. They didn't need you to be Kevin Durant. They just needed you to be better than Harrison Barnes. You just so happened to be Kevin Durant. That's what it is. That's what it was. Godly. You just needed to be Harrison Barnes. We switch out Harrison Barnes to MVP, four-top scoring champion, 7-foot sham god. Like, yeah. But this is modern day Bill and Wilt, and I would never, ever, ever compare LeBron James to Bill Russell. But here we are. This is a crazy time. It's a crazy time. But the whole foul call, or the timeout call, yeah, it was unfortunate. It was unfortunate. Yeah, Phoenix got screwed. It's obvious. It's plain as day. But 17 shots, 5 turnovers. Devin Booker and Kevin Durant combined for 12 turnovers. I believe that's more than the entire Lakers fucking team had. The Lakers had 9 turnovers, dog. Your two superstars combined for 12. Like, and that's the thing. I want to hate LeBron. You know I hate LeBron. I'm going to find a way to hate LeBron. The nigga had 2 turnovers, huh? The nigga is the de facto point guard, but, you know, the fans will say that it's D'Angelo Russell because they're retarded. But the nigga has a ball in his hand majority of the time. Oh, guess what? Even his old ass. Now, oh, my God. This is crazy. Because it's obvious LeBron plays for stats. But the thing is, given certain stats, like you're going to win a majority of games if you were able to get stats. You're going to. Like, that's just a fact. But LeBron got his 25 shots up. Why KD can't do that? Why Kevin Durant can't do that? He's younger. He's taller. He's more, like, honestly, everybody says, Giannis ain't got no bag. Giannis can't do this. Giannis can't do that. I get Giannis is, you know what, 20, 30 pounds bigger? Okay, fair. But I don't see how 3 to 4 times a game Kevin Durant can't do that. I mean, honestly, I would say 3 times a quarter. This nigga wants to be a fucking guard so bad. This nigga want to be a, like, he just want to take. It really pisses me off. Let me just bring Steph into this because I know the perception is Steph just shoots threes, but, like, he actually drives. And in my humble opinion, he actually is, like, he's on par with finishing as Kyrie. Like, I know, you know, Kyrie's just, for whatever reason, looks better. But, I mean, Steph, I mean, why do you think he was
a unanimous MVP. It wasn't just because of the threes. He was finishing. He's finishing. He's an excellent finisher. He's become a much better finisher. Obviously, back in the day, he was smaller, weaker, but Steph is an excellent finisher. It seems like
age has affected Steph more. Well, I guess Kyrie hasn't played as much basketball. What, Steph didn't miss a year? I don't know. And Damian Lillard gets calls just for being Damian Lillard. That's crazy. And even Anthony Davis, who was awful in the second half, he put up 26 shots. I don't understand this. I don't understand. Okay, but so Phoenix was just, I mean, obviously the turnovers is what ultimately cost them the game. They had 20 turnovers to the Lakers 9, but Austin Reeves took one less shot than Kevin Durant. Okay, so where are these shots going to come from if we want to give Kevin Durant so many shots? Okay, well, I'm glad you said that. Let's see. The turnovers are what killed him. This is actually just a really balanced game. Yeah, I'll give you that. But just Kevin Durant, he cannot be taking less than 20 shots. And he needs to be 25. But nigga, niggas is too focused on efficiency. And see, here's the thing. If you just all of a sudden start taking 25 shots, yeah, your efficiency's gonna go down for the first probably month and a half, too. But if you're as good and as skilled as we all believe you are, I think that's just more reps that you're getting. That's more in-game reps. And I believe that Kevin Durant will eventually start making those shots if he doesn't just start off making those shots. Because I think the efficiency is going to, for more or less, stay the same. So shoot more fucking shots. Golly. I really hate this guy. He should be killing LeBron all the time. But the KD fans, well, he averages 30 against LeBron. It clearly don't mean shit. God damn. All right, I'm done. Y'all are mad about the call, but I mean, guys, it shouldn't even ever been that. It shouldn't even been. And then also, yeah, I know. Well, we didn't even have Bradley Beal. I don't think that's. That's just another reason for Kevin Durant to get away with not taking the shots that he should be taking. Like, Bradley Beal was not. They need a point guard. They needed a Chris Paul, but they needed Chris Paul to be, like, younger. Honestly, the perfect point guard for the Clippers is Russell Westbrook. I mean, the Clippers for the Suns is Russell Westbrook. But the problem is they got three guys now. Or like, you know, like obviously four is too much, especially if two of them play the same position. So, yeah, the Clippers, that's going to be interesting to see what they do with all that. Okay, I guess I'm going to go ahead and talk about the college football playoff real quick. And I did have some, let's talk about this first. So the college football playoff, it's been set. It is, I believe, Michigan, Bama, and Washington and Texas. Shocker, I believe the committee got it wrong. Now, with where I believe they got it wrong is where things are going to get crazy. In this order, I believe that these teams should not have been in the playoff. Michigan, Texas, and Washington. I will tell you why. Michigan, 13-0, won the Big Ten. I see the Big Ten as the 2000s Eastern Conference. It's Michigan, national title contender, one of the top teams in the nation year in and year out. Understandable. Ohio State, more of the same. Penn State, on occasion. I mean, they're always, you know, they're going to be a top 25 team, but like, I wouldn't have been surprised if this year, like, oh shit, Penn State's number 8. Like, you know, it's one of them type of years. But it wasn't one of them type of years for them. And all of them happen to be in the same fucking division. And then you have Wisconsin versus Iowa. And then, you know, some other teams that happen to play in the Big Ten. And the
Iowa can't score more than 20 points. And Ohio State and Michigan, like, they have great defenses. Iowa has a pretty good defense as well, obviously. But I have no respect for the Big Ten Conference. I have no respect for the Big Ten Conference. That might be in due to the fact that Michigan State wasn't good this year. I think if they would have, if we would have saw Michigan State more nationally televised, high ranking, Michigan State versus Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, like Michigan State, Michigan, like once you're adding, you got to have more teams in that national conversation. And Michigan last year, they got in a very good team. I believe they returned a lot of players. And they proceeded to get their ass beat by TCU, who proceeded to got murdered by Georgia. And everybody's talking about, oh, well, we don't want to see any blowouts, so that's the reason why this team didn't get in, or that team, and da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know that TCU team beat a team to get to the championship, and that team happened to be this Michigan team. So I know they're number one right now. I know they're 13-0, Power 5 conference champ. I do not believe they're a top four team in the nation. I do not. I do not. I will say, I believe that's because of geography. I'm in the South, so if I lived up North, I'd probably have more respect for the Big Ten. I probably would. So, you know, I'll give it up. Now, Texas. Texas shocked the world, in my opinion. Texas has been up and coming, but I don't think nobody saw an 11-1. I think pretty much everybody just knew that, you know, that Alabama game was going to, you know, that was going to temper expectations. And then if, you know, they lose to OU, then that could just derail the entire season. And then there'll be a 8-4, 9-3 team, at best case 10-2. That win in Alabama and the manner of which they got that win has been, I think that's the second most overinflated game of the season. That was week two. Jalen Milroe was not the same quarterback that he is now. That Bama team wasn't the same team that it is now. I mean, and if you ask me, I would say Texas got worse throughout the season. I think that they and Texas also, you got to understand, whenever I say on this podcast, this team needed it more. Like, there is something to that. There is something to that. There's more emotion into like Texas State and UTSA. Like, I used to love whenever we play. Now I dread when we play because I know that team at San Marcos wants it way more than we want it. We want it, and we're going to, like, you know, they're going to fight for it and everything, but the team that has never done it, or the team that's on the bottom end, or the team that feels they got cheated or robbed or whatever, that there's another, you get a boost. You get a boost. And being on the opposite end of that, not fun. Not fun. And I believe last year, Alabama came into UT, played against, or came into Texas. They played a very close, low-scoring game. But Bryce Young, at the end of the day, made a successful last-minute game-winning drive. I believe they ended with a game-winning field goal, but he, you know, orchestrated that drive. And they go on to win and have the season that they had. Texas lost Quinn Ewers in that game. And they started having flashbacks to that 2009 national championship. And, you know, they're very, very upset, very emotional about that. I was at that game. Now, obviously, I can assume the players felt a way about how the game went down because it was a very low-scoring game and they lose their quarterback. So I can understand how, you know, they believe that things could have been differently had they not lost their quarterback. And obviously, that national championship team and the fans were, whew, oh, man, the fans were... Whew. Yeah, that was, I mean, but as a UT hater, oh my God, it was ecstasy. It was orgasmic. It felt like retribution for 2006, but even then, still won't ever be enough. Well, Quinn Ewers was healthy this time around. Bama didn't have Bryce Young. Bama didn't have Will Anderson. Bama, early on in the year, that was questions. The next week after that Texas game, they were pretty bad against that USF team. And that Auburn game, they're a 4th-and-31 away from not even being in this conversation. But that Bama team, something changed. Something changed. Jalen Milroe got much better. I'm surprised. I believe maybe he is a Heisman candidate. I can't remember, but he should be. In Texas, Big 12, it's Texas and OU. Now, you know, this year, Kansas was great. Oklahoma State's always going to be, you know, a top 40 team.
But outside of that, I mean, it wasn't the greatest. Iowa State's good. Iowa State is good. I don't respect this iteration of the Big 12 as much as the SEC. I'm sorry. And I don't even think the SEC overall was the top conference in college football this year, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Now, do they have the top teams? Yes. Like the cream of the crop? Yes. But overall, I don't think they're the best conference. But Texas, I know they have the head-to-head win against Alabama. But in my opinion, Texas also has the worst loss of the two teams. Texas lost to a team that didn't even make it to their conference championship game. Alabama is a conference champion. So is Texas. I know that head-to-head happened. I think it's easier to digest that week two early Alabama losing a lot of great players, Heisman and Will Anderson. I think that should be forgiven more easily than the team losing later on in the season. So, you know, I mean, teams change and grow, obviously, throughout the season. But you would think throughout that growth process that, you know, you're a little bit closer to your peak in week eight than you were in week two. You know, I don't know. And obviously, health is different. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the teams, good teams get better throughout the year. And then that win, because I think they went into conference championship weekend 7, I believe, and they beat a Oklahoma State team that I know they earned their way to be there, but that was not the second best team in the Big 12. So I mean, that didn't help Texas. If Texas would have played OU again and beat OU again, then that's a better leg to stand on. That Oklahoma State team. But I mean, I know, again, they earned their way in, but Texas is not better, in my opinion, this year than OU, and that team didn't even make it to their conference championship game. I know head-to-head happened, but I don't care. And now Washington. Why Washington? Washington is another undefeated conference champion. Actually, you know what? I'm rethinking that right now. Washington belongs in. I'm not mad at Washington getting in. But yeah, Michigan and Texas, I would not have been upset if either of them were not in. In my opinion, what the matchups should have been, and now I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth, I'm going to have Michigan in. Because even though I did just shit on the Big Ten Conference, the fringe teams, Oregon, Florida State, Georgia, which I won't consider a fringe team, but Michigan, Texas, all them, like, of those teams, like, I'm like, okay, y'all belong. I have more respect for the ACC and the Big Ten. I have more respect for the Big Ten because of Ohio State. Even though Ohio State, Kyle McCord had a great year, but you could tell he wasn't that guy. And Ohio State's team is solid, but they need that guy at quarterback for them to take off and be the Ohio State that they have been, even though they haven't beat Michigan apparently in quite some time. And Michigan, their strength of schedule is not that great either, honestly. I mean, they're playing a bunch of, I think the Big Ten outside of those three teams is awful. And I think Michigan State being bad, that just made it exponentially worse for them. But
So actually, I wouldn't be mad. The only reason why Florida State, I wouldn't be mad if Florida State was in over Michigan, but they have their third string quarterback who doesn't appear to be Cardale Jones. So I'm sorry. And because they went into that week number two, I believe. Yeah, they went into that week number two and they won. Fine. I would keep them in and I would move them up to one. And now I would also have Washington in. I would also have Washington in because, unfortunately, Michael Penix Jr. is going to play. If Michael Penix Jr. was out and not playing, now, again, anything can happen once you get into the game, knock on wood, but they have their Heisman candidate. And not that Jordan Travis was a Heisman candidate, or maybe he was. I don't know shit about this guy, to be honest with you. I just know that he got hurt, and apparently he's the quarterback for Florida State. But that's the difference. I do believe Florida State's defense is better than Washington's defense. I do believe that, but Washington, 13-0, and I believe the Pac-12 was the best conference in college football this whole year. I believe that. I do. And actually, you know what? I have some analytics for that, but we'll get to that after I finish this. At three, I would have had Alabama. I believe that team improved throughout the year. They're the SEC champion. Of the Power 5 conferences, we know the SEC ain't fifth. So the SEC champion, you're in. Now, this is where I was shocked, but I guess I wasn't really paying enough attention to just the number of quality teams that were deserving this year. The number one team, Georgia, on a 29-game win streak, winning back-to-back national championships, losing to Nick Saban's Alabama in the SEC championship game, does not drop them to the fifth best team in the nation, in my opinion. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, I know that you'd be leaving out conference champions for a team that's not a conference champion, but you know what's better than a conference champion? A defending national champion. A defending national champion that has a very, very, very respectable loss. Arguably a loss that wasn't even in the regular season, but a very, in a close fashion. Like that's really insane to me. That's really insane. I'm glad that Georgia and Florida State are going to play each other in the Sugar Bowl. And honestly, I hope that some rich niggas get together and just say the winner of that game, that winner of that Georgia-Florida State game, pick whoever you think the better team is of the losers of the national championship semifinals. Pick whoever you think is the better team of them. Have them play them. Hey, and if Florida State just so happens to do it, hey, DeSantis, you got it. Y'all can call yourselves national champions. We don't give a fuck. We've had co-champions and multiple national championships before, so fuck it. Because I don't believe that would happen, but Georgia being knocked out of it is insane, and the way the people are just letting it be like, they lost, they're not even conference champions. Like, whoa, let's, this is Georgia. I ain't from Georgia. I don't like Georgia. I mean, I'm not a Georgia fan. I can't name you a single, Brock Bowers. But that's it. I don't know shit about Georgia. I can't tell you shit about it, but I do know they won 29 fucking straight games. They're back-to-back national champions. They lost to Alabama. And they're out? That's crazy. That's crazy to me. There's no way you're not going. If Georgia was going to play Michigan, I believe Georgia's the favorite. If Georgia's playing Texas, I believe Georgia's the favorite. If Georgia's playing Washington, I believe Georgia's the favorite. I believe that. That's insane. That is in fucking sane. And then also, I think that they said during the game that they were dealing with injuries too. But I mean, they were able to play. So I mean, like you would think that given the month off that they would have before the games, these guys would be closer to, you know, 100%, or, you know, they'll be on a good enough drugs to be like, hey, fuck it, you don't feel shit this game. Because I feel for Georgia more than I feel for Florida State. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Florida State. I feel for Georgia way more. Those guys. But that is the beautiful thing of having those teams play against each other in the Pity Bowl. We feel bad for these teams because Jordan Travis is out from Florida State's missing out on an opportunity. I feel bad that Georgia did nothing wrong but lose their conference. But it was a very respectable game and a respectable fucking opponent, man. If we're just basing it off of how teams played in the conference championship games, I don't see how you move a 7 Texas ahead of Georgia. I don't honestly, if this had happened in any other regular week, I don't believe Georgia would be under Alabama after losing to Alabama. I don't believe that. And this is crazy. But, you know, we will soon be having our, I think it's now 12. I thought it was 8, but I guess it's going to be 12 teams. But the thing, it's going to be bullshit with the 12, too. It's going to be cut down to 12. And now we're going to be like, man, well, 13 and 14. I mean, Michigan State and Miami, LSU, A&M. Like, guys, we're never going to be satisfied. Honestly, I mean, you know what? You know I love playing commissioner. Fuck it. We should have, well, like, fucking 14 pools. 14 pools. They'll break up the conferences even more into fucking 14 pools. And you play also, like, just other Power 5 non-conference, like, you know what I'm saying? Other pools. Other, like, we should play, like, they should play 8 games. They should play 8 games a season. And then after that, oh, you can have, you can either go into bowl season. Or we can have an extended bowl season. Let's let the niggas play multiple bowls. We should have an 8-week season, and then after that, fucking make nigga 64 teams, 96 teams. We don't give a fuck. Let them play. These guys are already scheduling FCS and fucking Midwestern State Tech. Junior college, A&M, like, they're already scheduling the for the deaf. Like, they're already scheduling these teams anyway. So who the fuck cares if on Thanksgiving we're seeing Alabama versus Sam Houston State in a playoff game? Who gives a fuck? We would love it. And let's just say it just so happens to be a close game or Sam Houston State shocks the world. That brings more excitement to college football. Then I know y'all love y'all's rivalries, and hell, y'all can keep them in the pools if you want to, or scheduling in the 8 games. Like, you can, with this can be changed. This can be changed because it ain't nobody ever gonna be satisfied. We should just let fucking 60 something teams in. Do it like that, and you can extend it. You can still do it by weeks because, well, how many rounds is that? If it was 64, like, how long is the NCAA tournament? 64, first round, second round, Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final 4. Championship. That's 6 weeks. So if everybody played 8 weeks of games, the champion would still play the normal 14 games. And the runner-up would play the normal 14 games. Everybody else would play, you know, 12, 13, whatever. And you can still do a bowl season if you want to. Like, once the, like, after the, what, second round of the 64-team tournament, the teams that have been eliminated, they can play in a bowl. They can play in a bowl. And that's the thing. And the crazy thing is, if they did that and played in a bowl, that would be their 11th game of the season. Like, it can be done. So you can make it nine games. And then after that, just 64 playoff. I don't know. But it's never going to be. It's always going to be some, oh, well, they deserve it. It's always going to be that. So I think extended and everybody will win. So win-win. Win-win for the sport. But that's just me. Oh, also, I do have a lazy stat of the day. I was looking into how many teams, I think a metric. I'm not saying this is the end all be all. This is why I said it's a lazy stat of the day. But I went through all the conferences in Division I, and I wanted to see what percentage of the teams were bowl eligible. And I mean, that is a metric, again, not the end all be all, but that can be a metric of trying to see how good these conferences really are. And then we're going to see these people play against other conferences, and we can see how they match up. Because EJ Manuel, I believe I saw him say, like, the ACC has a winning record against the ACC this year. I was like, oh, wow. Now, I actually looked into the games, and I mean, you know, it's not like they was playing. I mean, now, Florida State versus LSU, yes. But after that, it was like, you know, Vanderbilt and Wake Forest. And, like, just it was bullshit. Like, it was nothing. But they still can say they have a better record. So, of the Power Five, I'll start there. The Big Ten has 8 of their 14 teams that are bowl eligible, so 57%. The Pac-12 has 8 of 12, so 66%. The ACC had 11 of 14, so 78% of their teams are bowl eligible. I was very much surprised to see that. The SEC had 9 of 14, so 64%, and the Big 12 has 9 of 14, so also 64%. So I was like, okay, I mean, at first, it was telling the story for me until I saw the ACC was 78%, and I was like, well, that can't be right. So then I decided to just expand and look at all of the conferences in D1, and I mean, there's only like 8, 9, or 10, Power 5, Group of 5, I believe. So then I, you know, kept looking. The Mountain West has 7 of 12, so 58%. Conference USA, so glad we got out of that shit. 4 out of 9, 44%, the worst overall. The MAC, 6 of 12, so 50%. And the American, currently it's 6. It could be 7 if Navy beats Army. But currently it's 6. 6 of 14. But I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to say Navy's going to win. Shout out to Navy. Shout out to the American Athletic Conference. So go Navy. It'll be 7 to 14, 50%. That's interesting. That's interesting to me. That my fault. This is also why I was gonna leave with this at first if it would have told the story for me, but since it didn't, it's now the lazy stat of the day. The Sun Belt Conference, who I have damn near no respect for, mostly because Texas State's in it. They sent 12 of their 14 teams to bowl games, which would be an overall best at 85%. Now, obviously, these teams play against each other, but that would, that tells a couple of stories. I mean, at the top, there's, I believe, James Madison is in the Sun Belt, or in Appalachian State, I believe, is in the Sun Belt. And Troy, I believe, is in the Sun Belt. So, like, they have some solid teams. I mean, they're, I'd say top 40 teams. I think they probably have some top 40, top 45 teams. But after that, there's some teams. But they just compete well against each other. I don't know. But they were able to send 12 teams. 12 teams were able to win 6 games in that conference. So shout out to the Sun Belt and shout out to the ACC for sending 11 teams. 11 out of 14. That's impressive. I was not expecting that. So, okay. All right. Now, this has already been, this is playing out just like last time. All right, I'm gonna breeze through this, and then maybe one day I will, oh God. You know what, I can. All right, y'all, this is what's gonna happen. Because I'm losing my energy to go into this the way that I want to, and I feel that it needs to go into. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to save these two topics for when me and Jeff speak. I'm just knowing that we're not going to really be able to get into it like that. But if we do, then I will be fulfilled and, you know, I kill two birds with one stone. But if not, then I will do more research on these, and I will bring y'all I'll bring y'all an episode about what I think about states' rights and the possibility of Texas seceding from the Union and what that could mean. I'll leave you a little teaser. Texas is Ukraine. Thank you for listening.